All right, tonight we're going to take 1 Chronicles chapter 2, picking up at verse 3, and Lord willing, going all the way through to the end of chapter 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3, through chapter 3, verse 24. Remember, we said last week that the writer of the Chronicles is writing during the exile. And he's writing to what is called the post-exile group of people. He's looking at the history of Israel, looking back to it rather than prior to the exile, writing about it. He's writing to the group of people who are in exile, who have lost their understanding and realization of where they've come from. They've been in exile. They've been in captivity now for many years. And the new generation that has risen up of the Jews in Babylon have not known their history, have not known where they have come from, have not known the hand of God. They've heard different stories. They've heard different teachings. But you remember that the children of the Lord, the children of Israel, have been indoctrinated through the Babylonian or Chaldean education system and lifestyle to where the people have forgotten where they came from and where they're going and what the hope is. So the writer of the Chronicles is showing the children of Israel and writing to them about where they've come from, how they are the chosen people of God, and that the promises given to David are still intact, even though they're in captivity in Babylon, that they are still intact. The promises given to them. We're in the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, in which the writer of Chronicles, Jewish tradition says it was Ezra the scribe, but the writer of Chronicles is presenting the genealogy, not only of the human race, but specifically of the Hebrew or Jewish people. The purpose of it is to show the hand of God that when Adam was created, that's the first word of 1 Chronicles, is Adam. When God created Adam, he had the Hebrew people in mind. That's where he was going with it. It's kind of like, here's the first man, the first human. Okay, where's God going to go with that? And from there, from chapter 1, verse 1, up through chapter 2, verse 2, that we went through last week, the writer of Chronicles is showing that when God made Adam, he had the Hebrew people in mind. Now, there were many other people, many other kinds of people and types of people and ethnic and racial groups. But the chronicler is showing that in all the various kinds of people that God created, is that God's people, the Jews, the Hebrew people, are God's chosen people. He wanted to show them that they're chosen. They might not feel like it, but that's because God's hand was upon them. We went from Adam to Seth. Seth was the third son of Adam and Eve. You remember Cain slew Abel, and Seth was born. Well, Seth is the promised line. And from Seth, we trace Seth through Noah. And from Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we shared with you the reverse order, beginning with verse 5, the sons of Japheth. He's not the promise, the seed through whom the promise would come. So Japheth comes first. And then Ham in verse 8. But when we got down to verse 17, it was the line of Shem. Through Shem, we saw, comes Abraham. Abraham is through the line of Shem. That's his ancestry. And from Abraham came Isaac and Ishmael. And when we got down to verse 34... of chapter 1, Abraham produced Isaac, and the sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel, who is Jacob. Israel means ruled by God. Jacob means the deceiver or supplanter. And so he then starts with Esau, because Esau is not the promised seed. But it is interesting, as we studied last week, all the way through to the end of the chapter, that we studied about the line of Esau, which are the Edomites, even their kings and their chiefs. But by the time we got through the end of chapter 1, basically the writer of Chronicles says, here is Esau, and here's where his line was, and that's the end. They lived, they ruled, they reigned, they set up chief cities. But that's it for them. Israel has come through Jacob. That's why he's called Israel. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "These were the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher." Now from there, from chapter 2, verse 3 onward, he now focuses on the tribe of Judah. Though he's going to mention other tribes as we go through, the central theme is the tribe of Judah from here through to the end of chapter 9. The tribe of Judah takes up one-third of the material because the chronicler has been working all his way up all the way from Adam to Judah. Now, there's a couple of reasons why he's focusing on Judah. When we get to verse 15, we will see that David comes through Judah. And David has come through Jesse, and David is the one through whom the promises are given. So again, he's showing the line of how God has worked through history to choose and preserve a lineage and line of people through whom Messiah would come. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says that Jesus Christ is the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is in the lineage of Abraham and David, and he is the fulfillment of the promises. It's called the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of those two covenants that God gave. And so it's very important that we understand the chronicler now is focusing on Judah, because from him comes David, and through David come the promises to the children of Israel. Another reason why Judah is focused on, if you remember in our study in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, that when there was a split after Solomon and the 10 tribes went up north, Judah is the tribe that stayed behind. They would not go. Judah is the tribe that stayed with Jerusalem, the chosen city and the chosen place that God chose. The other tribes went north and did their own thing, set up their own altars and did their own thing. Judah was faithful. And so Judah is the chosen tribe. And as I mentioned before, Judah is the tribe through which David has come. But as we begin with verse 3, we're going to trace the sons of Judah. And we're going to see a very interesting situation. I told you last week that there are a few places that are little emphasis, parentheses, if you will, where he interrupts the genealogical line to give us a bit of information. And that information, if you understand his mind and see the style of his writing, he's trying to say something to the Jewish people about who God is. And so we're going to see that tonight with a couple of instances. But it is interesting that verses 3 through 8 would be the sons of Judah. And one of the sons of Judah is Hezron. And he's introduced, and he gives birth to three sons, Jerahmeel, Ram, and Kelubal. And these three sons are now presented in reverse order. Ram first, and Ram, by the way, it's actually Ram, but people pronounce it Ram, probably because of the football team. But Ram is how it's pronounced in Hebrew. Ram is the father and line through whom Jesse and David come. So Ram is very important. Ram is taken first, 10 to 17. Then Caleb, and he's pronounced Kelubal in verse 9. But it's Caleb. It's not the same Caleb as in Joshua's day. Caleb, verses 18 through 24. And then the sons of Jerahmeel in verses 25 and going up through 41. But actually at verse 34 it goes reverse. He starts up at verse 34 with more of Jerahmeel's tribe. And then in verse 42, he goes back and backtracks over Caleb. And then in chapter 3, he goes back and focuses on Ram. So it's kind of interesting. He starts with Ram and Caleb, and then he talks about Jerahmeel. And then he talks about Jerahmeel, Caleb, and then Ram again. So he starts off with Ram, that is the family through whom David comes. Talks about the other two, some interesting things. And then he finishes up with chapter 3 with talking about Ram again as he goes in detail about David's family. So it's a kind of an interesting, it's a pattern there that the chronicler is choosing on purpose. He's choosing to start out with Ram and finish with Ram to show that about the chosen seed through David. So starting in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3, the sons of Judah were Onan, and Shelah. These three were born to him by the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess. The firstborn of Judah, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so he killed him. Now, he's quoting from Genesis 38:7. Genesis 38:7 presents the same statement, that Judah's firstborn son, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it says the Lord killed him. Point blank. It's just the way it is. That's just a point blank statement. He was born, it says he did wicked, and the Lord killed him. Now, verse 4. Now, why would he give us that information? Why not just keep going on? Because of verse 4. Verse 4 says, and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, that's Judah's daughter-in-law, Tamar was married to his son. All right? His daughter-in-law bore him Perez and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were 5. Now, from Perez and Zerah is going to come Hezron, and Hezron, from Hezron comes Ram, and through Ram comes Jesse and David. So what? I'm glad you asked. Verse 4 says Tamar bore to Judah, not to his son. She bore Perez and Zerah. In Genesis chapter 38, beginning at verse 8, it talks about this incident. You remember when Judah was traveling and Tamar dressed herself up as a prostitute? Judah went in to her as a prostitute. He did not know it was his daughter-in-law. And she became pregnant. And he did not have anything to pay her, so he gave her his signet ring and his walking stick as collateral to come back and pay. Well, when Tamar stepped forward and said that she was pregnant, and of course her husband, Judah's son, had died, she had deceived him so that she would bear children through the line. When it was revealed that she was pregnant and she was not married, Judah is the one that stood up and said that she must be punished, and whoever did this to her must be punished. And she's the one that said, the one who did this to me, this is his signet ring, and this is his walking stick. And Judah proclaimed, I think it's in 38:17, but Judah proclaimed that I have done more evil than she. And it was he who made his own daughter-in-law pregnant. Now what is interesting is that in the midst of all this, in verse 3 of our text, it says that did wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. Now, according to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 15, if a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, according to Leviticus 20:12, they both are to be put to death. A man is not to sleep with his daughter-in-law under any circumstances. And if he does, the law is in Leviticus 18:15. The punishment for it is in Leviticus 20:12. If he does, he is to be put to death. Now, what is interesting about this is that neither Judah nor Tamar were put to death. That was God's law. What is interesting is that God had mercy on them. And from the children born to her from Judah came the promised seed. And Matthew chapter 1, he brings up this same incident. It's as if Matthew and the chronicler are both saying to the Jewish people, just as a reminder to you of God's mercy. And not only will we be reminded of it, because he's going to mention that there are non-Jewish people in the line of David. and in God's line, by the way. They are not Jewish people. These people married non-Jewish people. And they were brought in. Egyptians and Armenians. I mean, they were brought into the picture. They're not even Jewish people. And he's presenting the fact that God can execute one man under judgment and yet he can have mercy on another. Isn't that what God says? I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And who I don't have mercy, I won't. There's a reason for it. He did not clue us in on it. But Judah committed the grossest of sins in going into a prostitute, but he did not know that he was his daughter-in-law. And when it was revealed that she was pregnant with his children, he confessed that his sin was even worse than hers. But God spared them. God had mercy on them. As if the chronicler is saying, I want to pause here a minute and show you that God took sinners. Not that it gives us a license for sin, but God takes sinners and he has mercy on them. Even through man's sin and through his failure, God has mercy on them and forgives them. And even from out of his line came the line of David. So that the children that were born out of a relationship of incest. It's considered incest according to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 15. Out of this came the promised seed. Isn't that interesting how God would use that, as Matthew and the chroniclers would bring out, that God would use that to show how that God has mercy on man in his sin. And even from out of that, brought about the Lord's will. But notice in verse 5 of our text, middle of verse 4, Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bore Perez and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were 5. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. That's what we're going to trace here in a moment. Because from Perez came Hezron. Perez was one of the illegitimate children from Judah. And the sons of Zerah were Zimri, Ethan, Haman, Kalkol, and Dara. 5 of them in all. The son of Carmi was Achar, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the accursed thing. So what is Achar is actually Achan from Joshua chapter 6 and 7. You remember God told the children of Israel that as they were conquering the cities, not to take anything from the cities, the people of the cities, their idols or any of their personal possessions. And Achan took something from the spoils of the city and hid it. Well, God brought judgment against the children of Israel for it, and they found out that Achan had sinned. Now, what is interesting is the chronicler, by saying, by using the word Achar, because in Joshua chapter 7, in verses 22 to 24, it mentions the valley of Achor. There's kind of a play on words between Achor and Achan. Achor means trouble. The valley of trouble. That's why it was named that, because Achan brought trouble on the children of Israel. So here he's not called Achan, he's called Achar, which means troublesome. So it's kind of a play on words. The son of Carmi was troublesome, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the accursed thing. Because of his sin, he brought the judgment of God upon Israel. Verse 8, the son of Ethan was Azariah. Also the sons of Hezron, who were born to him, were Jerahmeel, Ram, and Kelubai. Kelubai would be another name for Caleb, as we will see in a moment. Taking them in order, Ram, through whom the promised seed, gave birth to Amminadab. And Amminadab gave birth to Nahshon, leader of the children of Judah. Nahshon gave birth to Salma, and Salma gave birth to Boaz. Now you know where Ruth comes into this. Boaz gave birth to Obed, that would be through Ruth, and Obed gave birth to Jesse. Jesse gave birth to Eliab, his firstborn, Abinadab, his second, Shemaiah, the third, Nathanael, the fourth, Radai, the fifth, Ozem, the sixth, and David, the seventh. David was the seventh son to Jesse. Now their sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail. And the sons of Zeruiah were Abishai, Joab, and Asahel, three. Abigail bore Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether, the Ishmaelite. So he's bringing up now, in verse 17, we are introduced to the fact that Jether was an Ishmaelite. A part of Ishmael's seed now is part of the chosen seed. An Ishmaelite was brought in to this, and the writer of the Chronicles wants to remind his Jewish readers that even though they are the promised people, God's own people have sinned grossly. Out of it, God's had mercy on them and forgiven them and worked through them. He also has used non-Jewish people. So let's not be too particular. I think it's kind of interesting that later on the Jews would have no dealings with the Samaritans, because if you're not full-blooded Jewish, that you are a religious dog and they considered you to be unclean. Well, what is interesting that both Matthew and the writer of Chronicles brings up the fact that God used non-Jewish people. All the Jewish people that were in the promised line, even in Jesus' day, came from a part Gentile in his blood. Verse 18, Caleb. Caleb, the son of Hezron, had children by Azubah, his wife, and by Jeroloth. Now these were her sons, Jesher, Shobab, and Ardon. When Azubah died, Caleb took Ephrath as his wife, who bore him Hur. And Hur gave birth to Uri, and Uri produced Bezalel. Now afterwards, Hezron went in to the daughter of Machir, the father of Gilead, whom he married when he was 60 years old, and she bore him Segub. Segub produced Jair, who had 23 cities in the land of Gilead. Jesher and Syria took from them the towns of Jair with Kenneth and its towns, 60 towns in all. All these belonged to the sons of Machir, the father of Gilead. After Hezron died in Caleb, Ephrathah, Hezron's wife, Abiah, bore him Asher, the father of Tekoa. Then he begins with verse 25 about the sons of Jerahmeel. The sons of Jerahmeel, the firstborn of Hezron, were Ram, the firstborn, and Buna, Oren, Ozem, and Ahijah. Jerahmeel had another wife whose name was Atara. She was the mother of Onam. The sons of Ram, the firstborn of Jerahmeel, were Maaz, Jamin, and Echer. The sons of Onam were Shammai and Jadah. The sons of Shammai were Nadab and Abishur. And the name of the wife of Abishur was Abihail, and she bore him Aban and Molid. The sons of Nadab were Seled and Aphaim. Seled died without children. The son of Aphaim was Ishi. The son of Ishi was Sheshan, and Sheshan's son was Ali. We're going to pick up with Sheshan in a minute. We're going to come back and pick up through Sheshan. The sons of, verse 32, the sons of Jadah, the brother of Shammai, were Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children. The sons of Jonathan were Peleth and Zaza. These were the sons of Jerahmeel. So now he goes back to Sheshan from verse, where do we pick him up at? 31, yes. At 34 now. Now we're going to go in reverse order. We're going to take Jerahmeel, picking up at Sheshan, Caleb, and finish up in chapter 3 with the sons of Ram again. Now Sheshan had no sons, only daughters. And Sheshan had an Egyptian servant whose name was Jarha, an Egyptian servant. The Egyptian servant is given to his and she becomes part of the line. Sheshan gave his daughter to Jarha, his servant, as wife, and she bore him Attai. Attai produced Nathan, and Nathan gave birth to Zabad. Zabad gave birth to Ephiel, and Ephiel gave birth to Obed. Obed produced Jehu, and Jehu produced Azariah. Azariah gave birth to Helez, and Helez gave birth to Eliasah. Eliasah produced Sismai, and Sismai produced Shalom. Shalom produced Jechamiah, and Jechamiah produced Elishama. Now we pick up at the descendants of Caleb, because all of these have come from Hezron. The descendants of Caleb, the brother of Jerahmeel, were Mesha, his firstborn, who is the father of Ziph, and the sons of Mereshah, the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron were Korah, Taphuah, Rechem, and Shema. Shema gave birth to Raham, the father of Jorkoam, and Rechem gave birth to Shammai. And the son of Shammai was Maon, and Maon was the father of Beth-Zur. Ephah, Caleb's concubine, bore Haran, Moza, and Gazez. And Haran produced Gazez. And the sons of Jathai were Regem, Jotham, Geshan, Pelet, Ephah, and Sa'af. Ma'akah, Caleb's concubine, bore Sheber and Turhana. She also bore Sa'af, the father of Madmana, Shiva, the father of Machbana, and the father of Gibeah. And the daughter of Caleb was Aksah. I like to call all those people for dinner. These were the descendants of Caleb. The sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah. This would be a different Caleb from the other Caleb, produced within his line. The firstborn of Ephrathah were Shobal, the father of Kirjath-Jearim, Salma, the father of Bethlehem, and Haref, the father of Beth-Gader. And Shobal, the father of Kirjath-Jearim, had descendants. Haroeth, and half of the families of Manuoth. The families of Kirjath-Jearim were the Ithrites, the Puthites, and the Shumathites, and the Mishraites. From these came the Zorathites and the Eshtoalites. The sons of Salma were Bethlehem, Netophathites, Atroth, Beth Joab, half of the Manethathites, and the Zorites. And the families of the scribes who dwelt in Jabez were the Terathites, and the Shimeathites, and the Shukathites. These were the Kenites who came from Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. When we begin chapter 3 now, he goes back and picks up from where he mentioned in chapter 2, verse 15. You remember Ram produced Jesse, and Jesse produced seven sons, and those seven sons, the seventh son was David. Now he's focused. Boy, we've gone all the way from Adam. Now this guy's done a tremendous job to produce all kinds of family tree here. But now that we're at chapter 3, this is the biggie. because this is David's family in chapter 3. This is the microscope of Ram's descendants of verses 10 through 17 of chapter 2. Chapter 3. Now these were the sons of David who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. Interesting. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says that one of David's children was born to a Jezreelite, not a Jew. The second, by the name of Daniel, by Abigail, the Carmelitess, not a Jew. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Tolmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, by Abithol. The sixth, Ithream, by his wife Eglah. He had several wives, many of whom were not Jewish or Hebrew. These six were born to him in Hebron. There he reigned 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned for 33 years. And these were born to him in Jerusalem. Now this is interesting. This is a very important verse. Shemaiah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Four by Bathshua, who is Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Now what is interesting about this, and just how God works, because both Matthew and Luke pick up on this verse here, is that there's some sons mentioned in Chronicles. We never read these people in the books of Samuel or Kings. Who in the world is Shemaiah and Shobab? We're told in Chronicles, but we're not told back in Samuel and Kings. But what is important is, there's another son by the name of Nathan, and there's another son by the name of Solomon. Now the first two, we have who these people are, but he had sons by them. But what is interesting is that Matthew presents the line of Jesus, the line of David from which Jesus came from, and he presents that line as coming through Solomon. Joseph was the bloodline of Solomon. In Luke chapter 3, Luke traces Mary's genealogy. She also is from the house of David, but her line is traced through Nathan. Okay? Now what this does for us, there's a reason why this is. From this text right here, number one, through Solomon came Joseph. And of course, Joseph would be the producer of the seed through the woman, right? Well, according to Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 30, God prophesied through the prophet and said that because of Jeconiah, who was the son of Solomon, because of Jeconiah, that no man from the seed of Jeconiah would prosper. That cuts off Solomon, okay? God is basically saying no seed from Solomon is going to prosper as far as God's use is concerned. Now what is interesting is that Joseph came through Solomon, but it was not from the seed of Joseph that Christ was born, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by Joseph. Isn't that interesting? If people understood back then, which they didn't, but if they understood, they would have to say that if Messiah were ever to come through the line of Solomon, he would have to be virgin born, because it would be impossible for Solomon's seed, the actual sperm from the man producing the embryo and the fetus and the child, for that child to be Messiah, because God cut off the line of Solomon. So it was the legal line through Solomon. So basically the legal right to the throne came through Joseph and through Solomon. The bloodline of Jesus came through Nathan and Mary. That's what made him of the house of David. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but his bloodline, he actually had blood. He bled blood on the cross. The blood had to come from someplace. It came from Nathan's line through Mary. And so by blood he was born, the human element, into the house of David through Mary. But through the legal line, as heir to the throne, he came through Solomon. Very interesting. These two sons are mentioned along with two others, but that just gives you an idea of the detailed, intricate work of God to do that. He's got every detail planned for the history of the nation of Israel. Verse 6, also were Ibhar, Elishama, Aliphalet, Nogah, Nepheg, Japhia. Elishama, Eliada, Aliphalet. 9 in all. These were all the sons of David. Now he's presenting these sons according to in what city they were born. I mean, David had wives all over the place. And sets of sons were born in different cities. Besides the sons of concubines and Tamar, their sister. Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Abijah was his son. And Asa, his son. Jehoshaphat, his son. Joram, his son. Ahaziah, his son. And Joash, his son. Amaziah, his son, Azariah, his son, and Jotham, his son. Ahaz was his son, and Hezekiah was his son, and Manasseh was his son. We've traced all these. We just got through studying them in the lines of the kings. Ammon, his son, and Josiah, his son. The sons of Josiah were Johanan, the firstborn, the second, Jehoiakim, and the third, Zedekiah, and the fourth is Shalom. The sons of Jehoiakim were Jeconiah, his son, and Zedekiah, his son. Jeconiah was the king that was taken captive, taken to Babylon, and that is the one that God said in Jeremiah 22:30 that no seed should prosper from him because of his compromise with the things of the Lord. And the sons of Jeconiah were Asir, Shealtiel, his son, and Malkiram, Pediah, Sanazar, Jechamiah, Hoshama, and Nedabiah. The sons of Pediah were Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshulam, Hananiah, Shelomith, their sister, and Hashubah, Ohel, Berechiah, Hasadiah, and Jeshub Chesed, 5 in all. The sons of Hananiah were Pelatiah and Jeshiah. The sons of Raphia, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, and the sons of Shechaniah. The sons of Shechaniah was Shamiah. The sons of Shamiah were Hattush, Igal, Bariah, Neriah, and Shaphat, 6 in all. The sons of Neriah were Elonai, Hezekiah, Azricam, 3 in all. The sons of Elonai were Hodviah, Elashib, Peliah, Akhuv, Johanan, Deliah, and Anani, 7 in all. And so he's continuing now to trace these lines, but it is interesting that every once in a while, the whole overall picture is, this is to show God's detailed hand through history. That God had chosen them, all the way starting with the birth of Adam, the creation of Adam, that God created Adam, and he had Jacob, he had Hezron, even through the sin of Judah. It's God's choosing. God forgave Judah his sin. God forgave Tamar her sin, because he had chosen already ahead of time of His chosen seed that was going to come, even through sinners. And it is interesting that even through Gentiles, God had. And if you read Matthew chapter 1, even in His genealogies, He mentions the Gentiles and the women who were involved. He even mentions Bathsheba, who was the wife, and didn't even say that it was David's wife, but through Bathsheba and her husband, who was the wife of another man, came the seed from which David, of course, David's line came. And so it is interesting that in the whole overall picture, if you were a Jewish or Hebrew person sitting in exile in Babylon, and you had heard stories of your history but had never been to Jerusalem, had never participated in the law and the hearing of the law and all these different things, and all of a sudden the chronicler comes out and says, let me rehearse for you your family tree, where you came from and who you are. God's hand is upon you, whether you know it or not. You're sitting over here, all the way over here in Babylon, and you think that, you know, that you're just here in Babylon and you have Jewish heritage, but you're a Babylonian. No, you're not. You're here for a reason, and I'm taking you to that reason. You're under God's judgment, but God's promises and God's hand is still upon you. God is going to fulfill His will. When He created Adam, He had a purpose in mind, and it's going to be fulfilled. Yes, He will deal with us according to His sins, but what He chooses to do, He's going to do in spite of us. He's going to do that. And what is interesting about the line of David himself with Solomon and Nathan, as I mentioned to you before, it is beyond man. Man could not even invent such a story. It is God working through history to bring about His will, that Messiah would be born without sin nature. His seed would not come from human. He would be conceived of the Holy Spirit, but He would be born into the bloodline of David. Therefore, both legally and physically through blood, He would be the rightful heir to the throne and the promised Messiah. Very interesting. If you were a Jew receiving this, it would be like, whoa, this is not an accident here. I'm not an accident. God's hand is very much involved in my life. And even for a Christian, a believer today who's not a Jewish person, this is the same God that we serve. His hand is very much in every detail of our lives from beginning to end. And whatever He's doing in our lives, we might think that we're being held captive by our trials and tribulations or circumstances. But it's God shaping us and molding us to fulfill His promise in us and to us, changing us so that we can be effective for Christ. Next week, if you want to read ahead, if not, I'll tell you, we'll take chapters 4 and 5 for next week as we move through these lines and take a couple of more stops and study some of the people, and as we are studying the hand of God and His plan in history. Let's close with prayer.